Well, we're going to pass it one. Wycombe Wanderers 0. It was a pretty tough watch in horrendous conditions. The first thing we've got to mention is what an horrendous evening to play football in. Going down to that game, I wasn't anticipating any sort of silky football whatsoever. Thought, I'll take a point, to be honest, because I thought conditions would have affected the game and it could have gone either way. And I don't think I was too far off. There weren't many chances, but what chances there were, well, it was just an awful evening.
I think the only saving grace about the conditions and all the rest of it last night, it wasn't freezing, was it? It was quite mild.
On Sunday, Adam said, make sure you got your flask with you. So I made a flask for and took it with me, and I was glad I did. Cool where I was sat. I'd be sat in a wind tunnel in ES7.
I have to admit, I did watch it at home on iFollow. There was one stage in the game that I think the cameraman was drawn to it as well, but I was actually focused on this crisp packet blowing across the pitch. I was almost timing how long it took to get from one side of the pitch to the other. It's not conducive to a good game, is it, when you've got those conditions? Saturday was similar, wasn't it? It was very, the pitch was very sticky on Saturday, I thought.
You're giving me flashbacks to Warren Joyce talking about crisp packets.
It was a lot worse than Saturday, I thought, the conditions. I mean, we started playing it on the deck a lot more. I'll mention it now, that Passicelli using the second half, what put Sessegnon through one-on-one. He pinged that along the floor. What a pass that was. Unbelievable vision.
Yeah, well, there's one player you don't really want on the end of that, and it's probably Stephen Sessegnon. It's a fullback. It's a proper fullback's finish, but he's been getting in good positions, I think, Sessegnon recently. I like that he made the move. Everything went right apart from the shot. You know, Charlie Hughes' passing, whether it was trying to find Jordan Jones out left or Sessegnon down the right, his passing was incredible. And to be honest, after that game, I do think I owed Charlie Hughes a bit of an apology, because on the last podcast, I said that Liam Morrison, I put higher than him on ability-wise. Hughes, again, just proved why. I don't really know anything about the difference in ability, because Hughes is far better, I think. His passing is incredible. He seemed to play a bit of a more defensive midfielder role, I think, yesterday. Maybe that's because Charlie Good is there and he's being allowed to do that. But stepping into the midfield, and Adam mentioned it before we started recording, the one where he was in the Wickham box and he got the ball at the far post and then he juked in to try and get it to Stephen Humphries, and that was nearly a goal-scoring opportunity. So ability-wise, Hughes has really impressed me.
What do we make of Charlie Good?
I liked him. Given the fact he hasn't played a lot of football, I think he looked quite composed. I think he won a couple of headers that he needed. I mean, he did win one header where the first referee that we had, I don't know how he didn't spot that it was a corner, because he flicked it away from their attacker. But yeah, I thought he got into the right positions. He's used his experience, and Charlie Hughes had his best game for a while yesterday, I think. And you could argue that's because he's got someone experienced alongside him. You know, how many players do we have in our team that's played, 14 Premier League matches? Yeah, ability-wise, I think Morrison and Hughes, or I think Hughes is probably already passed him. Morrison will probably pass him. But I think at the moment, I said we needed Jason Kerr back, and now we've got Goodin. We've got two players that are experienced that we can play at the back, which we've not really had that luxury at centre-back this season. So I think, I know you were overly impressed by him, Barry. You compared him to Gareth Griffiths.
Yeah, he did remind me of Gareth Griffiths. I mean, that's one for the older Latics fans. And he was used to refer to him sometimes as the giraffe, because he was tall and gangly. And I thought he looked a bit like that. I don't want to start critiquing him, because like it was his first game and he's not played for a while. But he did remind me a little bit about Griffiths. But I was a little bit disappointed that Morrison didn't play yesterday. I'm a massive fan of his. Him and Charlie Hughes complement each other, I feel. But I'm not the manager. The manager picks the team, and you can't argue with the run of form at the moment, results-wise.
Oh, you can. Have you not been watching Twitter? I wouldn't argue, but there's plenty that would.
How the hell we could be having a go at someone who stuck through us last season? Basically, was him and Gregory were the last men in the building, and they've managed to recruit a side that's more than competitive at League One with loads of injuries. He knows himself that we haven't reached the levels that he wants us to reach in terms of his style, but got to give him a bit of time. We're not going to go down. And I think most of us, realistically, at the start of the season, would have been happy with that.
I think it's only our away record people can really have a problem with, because our home record, we're now on the best run, the three games in a row that we've won, and we've only lost 2 out of 10 in the league at home. So, or in the last 10 at home. So I think you can only really criticise the away form, but a lot of teams struggle away from home. And to get a result like that against Wickham in the final minute of the game, probably the final kick of the game, conditions were bad. Both teams were waiting for the other to blink, and nobody did until the end. And then Charlie Hughes does that. A lot of football fans talk about best goals ever. Messi versus Getafe, Maradona versus England. I'm putting Charlie Hughes as it's Wickham up there. I was giddy when I went to bed last night. I thought it was one of the best goals of the season, I think.
I mean, it was a brilliant strike. But again, McManaman, how many points has he won us this season?
We were discussing it on the way back, how much he's done. Let's not forget how many points Sam Tickle has earned us in the last two games. And whilst you're talking about great goals, Charlie, the one on Saturday was better than the one last night.
Yeah, I think you're right. He has won us some points this season, Paul.
About Maloney, I'm feeling like I'm a bit of a broken record. I keep repeating myself over and over and over. This team has been built on nothing. To come out the side that we've come out with a team capable of going on a run like we're on at the moment, we're steadily climbing up the table. We're 11th, despite having 8 points taken off us. You've got to take into account the conditions last night. Prime Barcelona would have struggled in that win. Just give them a break. The stats from the Wickham game were possession 63%. Attempts, we had 9 with 3 on target. Wickham had 11, but only 2 on target. Corners 7-3 in our favour. Fouls, we committed 10, Wickham 15. Cards, we picked up 3 yellows. Matty Smith for a rugby tackle. He loves doing them rugby tackles, doesn't he? Just absolutely loves them. And Jones and Morrison. And 1 yellow for Wickham. The attendance was 7,774 with 155 Erdy souls travelling up from High Wycombe down in Buckinghamshire. Our form over the last six games, lost, won, drawn, drawn, won, won. One defeat in six games, 3 wins and 2 draws. Fabulous run of form for a team in mid-table.
Yeah, we've got to look at who we've been playing in that time as well, haven't we? Obviously, we've the in-form Northampton Town, who scored an absolutely fantastic goal last night. And then, obviously, Barnsley, we got a point there. Probably our best performance of the season. Just very unlucky not to win that game. And, you know, they're flying at the moment in terms of the results. Then we beat a Reading side who were undefeated in 5. We beat Derby last night, 1-0. You know, Wickham were probably the team who was the most out of form who we were playing. But, we still beat them. The only disappointment, I think, in that run of the last 3 weeks was the Doncaster last 60 minutes, I think, which is the most disappointing. But everything else, I think, shows that we are improving because we're beating better teams as well. And we're not beating ourselves as much because I don't know what our defensive record's like over the last 6 or 7 off the top of my head, but we've not conceded to more than 2 or 3, have we?
No, I think it's no coincidence that Matt Smith's back in the team, though, do you? And he's come back in and suddenly the form's picked up. We've had clean sheets. I don't think it's any coincidence. And when you're taking a quality player out the squad like him, you're bound to suffer. And I thought he did brilliantly last night. I mean, what did he last? Nearly 2 hours of football. I know we were blown out of his backside at one point, but did really well. The team last night, Tickle, Sessegnon, Young, Hughes, Good, Chambers, Adeko, Smith, Jones, Asgard, Humphreys and Wyke. Subs, McManaman, Shaw and Morrison for Good, Sessegnon, Young and Adeko. And then Johnny Smith and Josh McGuinness came on for Stevie Humphreys and Charlie Wyke. I'm not saying I was delighted with the game where we played because it was a bit dull, but how can you not be delighted with scoring a 110-minute goal to pinch the 3 points?
The latest ever goal. So that's twice now in a week. So the Premier League's was broken and the EFL's was broken. So the latest goal ever scored. Play to the referee's whistle. Keep going till the end. Let's get some cliches in.
Yeah, well, let's talk about the referee. Paul's mate, there he was, Adam Hirsig, involved in a little incident which, if you look at that again, that incident, do you remember in the first half when Jamie Jones got absolutely cleaned out from behind by a Reading fullback? And then the Reading fullback, the referee just had a word with him instead of booking him. Then 10 minutes later, Jones gets booked for like a bit of an innocuous. I know it was a professional foul, but it was innocuous. Yeah. It weren't dangerous.
Yeah. Well, it was Jordan Jones, not Jamie Jones.
Yeah, not Jordan. Jordan Jones, yeah. I've got Jamie Jones on the mate. Brain again, because we're playing Stevenage on Saturday. That's what it is. But if he'd have booked that player, he wouldn't have gone through the referee later on because he'd have been up for another yellow and off the pitch. So I blame the referee for that.
that one was definitely a yellow card offence, wasn't it, when he went through Jordan Jones?
Absolutely.
I've just thought of something actually now that's come to mind. The positioning of the ref. Because I don't know if you noticed, in the first half, the ball hit the referee when we were attacking. And what should happen is now, stop the game and give it to the side who you think has the ball at the time. But that's twice in the game where that referee has been involved in the actual play itself. And that's one of the things referees are taught, aren't they, to get into the right position, not to actually get involved in the game and, you know, start playing little passes and getting involved in tackles. I hope he's all right, obviously, but...
Stephen Rushton came on. Stephen Rushton did brilliantly. Did absolutely brilliant. Added those extra minutes on at the end. Just give us a free kick over on the left-hand side. Didn't blow for a foul on the defender, which I thought he was going to do, because that's what they tend to do. Sometimes bottle it, don't they? Blow the whistle, because they don't want any goals coming. Like you said, Adam Macca involved again. Crossed the ball into the box, and Chell, you swiveled on a sixpence and put it in the back of the net. Absolutely brilliant. Man of the match, as voted for by our listeners on both Facebook and Twitter. I don't think there was any arguments or any doubt about this. Latics number six, the man who scored the goal in the dying moments, Charlie Hughes. So congratulations, Charlie. Well-deserved accolade. Progressive Unity, man of the match. I was saying to the guy sat in front of me last night, it's like being at the wrestling, this, because we were shouting away at the players, shouting away at the referee, but loving it. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. I know people can say, they go to a football match and they sit there and they're bored. Well, come sit with us. Have a bit of fun. That's what it's about, right? Enjoying it. It doesn't matter. We've seen some really crap Wigan Athletic sides down the years, and we've sat there and still got involved with it and loved it. And that's why, coming on for 65, that's why I'm still here. I don't mean here as in alive, which it might be anyway, but here, what, supporting the Latics and not missing the game.
I guarantee that the same people criticising these performances now are going to be the same people in 10 years that go, do you remember when Sam Tickle and Charlie Hughes and Talo Asgard used to play for Wigan? They were brilliant to watch. Yet at the minute, they're criticising them, but enjoy them while they're here, because they won't be. Most likely past this summer, a lot of them will go up to bigger clubs, so just enjoy it.
You're not wrong there, Charlie. You're spot on the money.
Talking about moving, other news now, we'll move on. Been reported through Paul Kendrick and Wigan Today. Sean Maloney's given the nod. Callum Lang's asked for a move. So it's sort of half official now that he's going to be leaving. It's also said that there's been a verbal offer made. No idea who from. Bit sad, really. I like Lange. He plays with his heart and soul for this club. And that's, you can't ask for more than that from a player, to give everything, and he does give everything.
I think the language used, though, you know, in the article, that the direct quotes that you get, it's not like you get with some players, you know, when it says the terminology, they've handed in a transfer request, or they've gone out on strike or something like that. I think it's essentially that he just thinks it's his time to move. Maybe he's looking at it also and thinking, I'm 25, I want to be starting every week. You know, I don't mind, it's a footballing reason. You know, and I don't think at the moment he's Sean Maloney's first choice in any of those forward positions. Now, you're only an injury away from getting back in there, but, you know, he's done enough time now, hasn't he? You know, in the loan periods, and obviously playing through the administration season when he really helped us, didn't he? So he goes with my best wishes, but it's still an if. It's a big if.
Gone, which is not an if. Omar Rekic. Gone back to Arsenal. Charlie Goode came in. We've already talked about him. On Saturday, we've got Stevenage up with Big Steve Evans and Big Goal Reader leading the attack. And I've spoken with the biggest Stevenage fan that I could find. And it's Matt Farley from the Stevenage podcast. An absolute gem of a guy. And he's coming up on Saturday, so we're hoping to meet up with him. Let's have a listen. On Saturday, we're welcoming Stevenage to the DW Stadium for the first time ever. And I'm delighted to say, making his return to the podcast, is Matt Farley, Stevenage's most famous fan. How are you doing there, Matt?
I'm really good, Barry. It's great to come back on here, my man. I remember when we recorded back, it might have been like the start of October, wasn't it, when we last played at our place. Yeah, great to come back on here. I'm very excited for Saturday. You know, when the fixtures come out for us and we got promoted to League One, we looked at all the big clubs, you know, your Wiggins, your Barnsleys, your Derbys. And, you know, we're here, my man, and we're really excited to come up and see Stevenage play. I can't believe if we win, we're safe. I think that's something that we're, you know, unbelievable and to think we're in the League One playoff race with a win as well. But no, I'm really good, my man. Really good to be back in here and have a chat with you.
When we spoke back in October, you was just so giddy. You were telling me about this wonderful journey you've been on since Steve Evans came in. And it's continued. I mean, you've got a guy on 18 goals. You've been up there all season. You must be absolutely buzzing.
Honestly, I'm over the blooming moon. I mean, it's been my favourite ever season seeing Stevenage play. And that's difficult to top last year, let me tell you. But it really is. It's, you know, I never, ever thought we'd ever have certain players playing for us that are in the squad now. And it's brilliant. You know, the journey we've had, being down the bottom of the League Two for years, Steve coming in, keeping us up, getting us promoted, and then he builds his new team. We're up the top of League One again. It's been absolutely incredible. It's been such a fun season. We've seen 13 wins from the 26, so we've won half our matches. There's been some big wins in there, some great days out. Even the draws we've had have been excellent for the majority part, and it's been brilliant. I can't believe we're still there. You know, 746 points, 20 games to go. I mean, it's unreal that we're, you know, possibly in a League One playoff race. But I think it's just been a really fun season, an enjoyable season, just watching this Stevenage team playing League One that we never thought we'd ever see. And it's truly been one of the best seasons. Well, no, the best season I've seen so far. And we're just enjoying every week, every game, every new stadium that we go to, which obviously the DW this Saturday. So, yeah, no, giddy kid is the right description for me. And I'm just so happy and passionate about us and what we're doing. And yeah, it's blooming terrific. So hopefully we can stay there for the last 20 matches and create more success. That'd be class.
You said there were about 13 wins, and of course one of those wins, our first ever meeting, and to say it was an eventful game would be a little bit of an understatement. I think we ended up with 12 red cards and a red, sorry, 12 yellow cards and a red card. And even the manager got booed. From our point of view, that referee was shocking. And I don't know what you thought about it.
Well, to be honest with you, most of the referees have been shocking this season, haven't they? I think for us, like, it was probably one of the only refs that's given us any, you know, fair crack and a whip this season. But do you know what? I was saying to the chaps on our pod the other day, that was a tough game, that was actually. So it was 1-0, penalty as well. And, you know, it was quite a tough game, that was. That was probably, I think, in the top of my head, I'm thinking of the 5 or 6 home wins we've had at home. That's probably the toughest home win we've probably had this season. Very close game. I think even our manager, Steve, said at the time that, you know, if the game ended a draw, probably the team would have probably, you know, wouldn't have looked at that any differently. But I do remember the sending offs and the bookings. I remember sitting there in the North Stand thinking, God, we've got a referee that's given us good decisions today. Or, you know, we're getting away with a few. It's not been the case with Barry this season, let me tell you. But close game that was. Really happy with the 3 points, of course, in a really important time for us because we were playing around that time, you know, a lot of the big sides. So it was an important win for us to get that day. But yeah, crazy game. I think overall in the game, there was about 18 bookings or so and 12 or 13 to you guys. So crazy game.
Of course, in that game, your top scorer, Reed, didn't play. So I'll be seeing him for the first time live. What can I expect of him?
Oh, big goal, Reedy. He's the main man. We love him at our club. Not many people would call him a legend, but I am, because that guy, his journey, incredible. But Jamie Reed, big goal Reed, as he's known at our club. Big goals in big games. 15 goals in League One. Yeah, it's just remarkable to be second and third. Well, second top goal scorer in League One. Yeah, look, Reedy has improved so much under Steve Evans. You know, his hold-up play, he's running off the shoulder, you know, his quality and ability in front of goal. He's always had ability in front of goal, Reedy. You know, I look at statistics when he was at Torquay United, and I know that's in the National League, but the guy scored nearly 40 goals in a season. So, you know, regardless of if it's in the National League, he's shown ability, but massively improved under Steve. And I think what I love about him is he always pops up at the right time. And he's done it so many times this season. And if anything, he should actually have scored more goals. He's missed some sitters as well. He should be the top goal scorer in League One. But yeah, what a player. He works off the shoulder so well. He likes to get in behind and off the defender's back, and you know, he draws fouls. You know, he keeps the ball really well. And yeah, you know, if Reedy goes through on goal, 9 times out of 10 he'll normally find the back of the net, and he has done this season. He's had a truly remarkable season, and yeah, he's certainly one that you're going to need to keep an eye on Saturday, because anything in and around the box, I tell you what he does really well actually. Good example of this was Cambridge away this season, when we won 2-1. Did this a lot last season, but he's done it really well this season. He has this kind of knack of picking up the ball from deep and going with the ball and hitting a shot across goal. And he always, well, I say always, but for the majority of times when he gets himself in those positions, he normally finds the back of the net. And I remember Cambridge this season was very similar. Picked up the ball. If you ever get a chance to watch the goal, he drives with it and then goes bang across goal, 2-1. And that's something that he does really well. He can move with the ball really well. But yeah, you'll need to keep an eye on him. Big goal reader. He always comes up with the big goals.
Jamie Reid, our big goal reader. That's the one. Yeah, apart from him then, I know you brought a couple in this past couple of weeks, haven't you? A goalkeeper. Is the goalie come in and gone into the team, or has he come in as an understudy?
He was signed last week. So obviously we had a game postponed on Saturday. So yeah, he would have been in the squad for that. And our other new signing, Verdane Oliver, who's, he just suits the style of Verdane. I mean, he's an old Steve Evans player, scored over 20 goals for Steve in League One. So we know that Steve's going to get the best out of him. Steve always does when he, you know, brings his kind of boys in, as we call it. But yeah, Craig McGillivray, he's coming from MK Dons, experienced League One keeper, played for Charlton, played loads of games in League One. I think he's got over 200 appearances. It's a really weird one with Craig, because you know, Tay Ashby Hammond's our starting goalkeeper. Tay's been brilliant this season. He's got one of the most clean sheets in League One, I think level with Portsmouth at the minute. And we've brought, you know, Craig in, and Craig's going to compete and push him for a first team place with his experience of the level. And so I think with that kind of signing, and on loan it is as well, I think that he's going to compete for that first team shirt. And it's right as well, because Tay hasn't had any competition this season. He's had to pretty much play all the matches. And the way that Steve Evans works is Steve doesn't like any reserves, and he likes players competing for shirts. And this is why it's one of the many recipes that Steve's created for our success this season, is that every player is a starting player. It doesn't matter who's on the bench. They are expected to play and win. And there's no reserves. We have no reserves in the squad. And that is a typical Steve Evans signing. He brings in a guy like that, and he will compete for the first team shirt. And there will be matches where Tay won't play and he will play, and he'll be expected to win. And then there'll be matches where Tay will play and he won't play. But that's the way that Steve likes it. He likes that competition, that, you know, every day in training, you've got to perform well and put the work in. So yeah, big signing is for us. We needed a competitive number two. And it's exactly the same with our other signing, Verdane Oliver, striker, 6'2", suits the styles, going to come in, going to compete. Steve likes him. So yeah, we've done some really good business so far. We're expecting a couple more maybe, but I'm definitely in the mindset that those new signings will compete for the shirts. Who knows? They might play this Saturday at Wigan, but yeah, they'll definitely compete.
I think we know all about Verdane Oliver. We've had a when he was at Gillingham, we've had a bit of form with him in the past, so we know all about him. And looking ahead to Saturday now, I know you're coming up. I'm no doubt we'll be hearing you from the North Stand. What are you hoping for, and what do you think the score will be?
Oof, good question. I mean, again, you're speaking to the most positive Stevenage fan ever. So there's a common trend with me on these pods. I get asked, what's your score prediction? Always goes in a winner, Stevenage. But yeah, look, tough game. I mean, do you know, we said it on our pod. You look at this match, and you know, it's really important for us, because a win, not only does it as a safe in League One, that's like winning the league to us and puts us in the League One playoff race, but it gets us a win going into a really big month in February, where I think Steve said, if we're there after Feb, we'll make it. But we've got a lot of tough games. We've got 7 games in Feb. And, you know, we play the Derbies, the Blackpools, you know, some tough sides. Got Bristol Rovers, Port Vale, got some tough games. So this is a really important match for the team. We got a big win against Shrewsbury over a week ago. It would be really important for us to get a win. I take a point in the game, because I think it's tough. You've got a very good home form. And we said this on our podcast, you know, we've got 25 points away. You've got 25 points at home. So, you know, that makes a very good game. And I think it's going to be a tough game. Look, if you, you know, take away your points deduction, you're sitting in ninth. And a lot of people forget that. So I think it's going to be a very difficult game. You got a good win on Saturday as well. So, yeah, I don't think this is going to be an easy game. I said on our podcast, I think we are going to nick it with a very measly 1-0 win. And, you know, big goal Reedy will do what big goal Reedy does. But I don't think it's going to be easy by any sort of the imagination. I think there's going to be moments in the game where we're going to have to be very strong at the back, as we've proved this season. But I fancy to nick a win, but I think it's going to be a tough game. Don't get me wrong. If the game ended in a draw, I'd be happy with that. I'd take a point at your place on Saturday. But I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to stick what I said in our pod. A very sneaky 1-0 Jamie Reid goal, 1-0 win for us, yeah.
Matt, it's been a pleasure as always. Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us.
Barry, thank you. Best of luck for the rest of the season, my man.
Cheers and same to you.
It's Big Fan Farley. That's what I'm referring to him as now. He's probably the most famous Stevenage fan in the world, but it's no real surprise how excited you can get over Stevenage, because newly promoted, and they're giving me shades of the Leicester side that won the Premier League. And obviously it's on a much smaller scale, but they're not a team that you can really look at and go, they've got League One star-studded players like a Corey Blackett-Taylor and Nathaniel Mendes-Lack. They've got just good players who are putting in 100% effort, and it's just showing that that's getting them over the line. And it's seriously impressive what Steve Evans has done. And you look seventh after 26 games, they've got a game in hand and 3 points off Oxford United, who've got that last playoff place right now. 13 wins, 7 draws, 6 losses. But away from home, they've done about the same as what our home form is. They've got 8 wins, 1 draw, 5 losses. We've won 9 and lost 4, but scored 38, the same as us. But they've conceded just 25. So they've got the best defence along with Portsmouth and Bolton. And at the back, they've been rock solid. Carl Piergianni is probably one of the biggest players at the back for them. And he's got so much EFL experience that it was a really good sign-in for them to make. But obviously, top player is big goal Reedy, Jamie Reid. 15 goals and 1 assist in League One so far. Actually got the same goals and assist tally as he did last season with 16. But in League Two, he got 10 goals and 6 assists. And I would put him down as sort of League One's Jamie Vardy-esque player, just somebody who's going to give his effort every single time. And then next up, I've got Jordan Roberts, who's got 4 goals so far, which includes an outrageous long-range effort against Northampton Town on Boxing Day. Ran it to the byline, just leathered it. Had no real right to score from there, but it went in. A bit like a Trent Alexander-Arnold style when he hit the bar the other day. And then he's got 3 assists to go along with that. And then finally, I've got Elliot List as the final one to watch. 4 goals and 1 assist. But Stevenage can score from range, dangerous down the wings and attack. So they're just going to keep relentlessly attacking our box. So for me, I would do a back three with wing backs. And I would like to see Liam Morrison start this one. I think he's good in control. And I would put him alongside Charlie Hughes and Charlie Good or Goody, if his arm's okay. Because I saw I think he was in a sling after the Wickham game. So yeah, I'll do a back three just to contain Stevenage.
They've just signed Verdane Oliver as well, who played under Evans at Gillingham. And he's always been a threat. Well, every time we've played him, he's been a bit of an handful. Steve Evans is proving he's more than just a big mouth on the touchline into this season. Because you can't just be a big mouth and wonders like he's doing there. So, and they love him at Stevenage. And he's talking to Matt, he's so infectious with his enthusiasm as well. Not about the game, he's just loving it. And yeah, I'm made up for him.
Right, well, I have a ref watch. The referee will be Blackburn-based official Ben Toner, who is once again penciled in to take charge of the game. We've been here before, and he was last pulled from the December meeting with Carlisle for some unannounced reason. He was promoted to the national list for the 2015-16 season, and Ben Toner has actually refereed the Latics on 5 occasions in the past. The last time was Crewe away in March of 22. Goals from McGuinness and Keane strengthened our grip on a League One top spot that night with a 2-0 win. Card watch, Ben Toner has taken charge of 19 games so far this season. And in those games, he's issued 87 yellow cards, 1 red card, and he's awarded 7 penalty kicks. And that is Ben Toner, who is listed to referee the game on Saturday.
Previously, we've met Stevenage once. Quite an eventful game, though, refereed by a London official Alan Young, who issued the Latics 12 yellow cards and one red, whilst dishing out three yellows and a straight red to Stevenage players. There was a penalty, 19 minutes of stoppage time in the first half, and 10 minutes in the second half. Obviously, we haven't got really any star games because I did go to the game, but I can't really say that game was a star game. So really, the only thing we can say is the legendary Jamie Jones, captain, fantastic during the admin season, signed from Stevenage in Paul Cook's first season in charge. Jones, not just renowned for his saves, but also for the ability of his actual penalty taking. Maybe we would have been in the quarterfinals if Jamie Jones had still been here. Back to Barry for the predictions.
I think this is going to be a tough game. It's the third of the three homes in a week. I think this is the toughest one by far of the lot of them. They're just a very tight team to play against. But you know what? We're on a roll. I think the wind will have calmed down. Matt Smith's hitting a bit of form now. He's back. Jordan Jones is also looking, talking to Jones, he's also looking very good. I think they'll score, but I'm going to go for a 2-1 Wigan Athletic win.
My prediction of 1-0 and a run of 1-0s was good on Tuesday night. You're absolutely right, tougher game, but I think we raise ourselves for the tougher games and we're on a bit of a run. So yeah, I'll go 1-0 again on Saturday.
I think it's going to be one of our hardest games in recent times. I'm not expecting sensational football just because we're playing Stevenage. So I think we're going to be contained quite a lot. But our passing in the last game against them was shocking. So that's all where it needs to start improving from. But our last two goals have been screamers. Charlie Hughes is the best goal in football history. So we can't really rely on those again. But I think get Liam Morrison on the end of a corner, let him head one in, and then Stevie Humphries is going to tap one home, I think. So I'm going to go for a 2-2.
Oh, interesting. Some goals. Just thinking then, actually, what Charlie said about playing the three centre-backs. I think if we did that, one of the midfielders, I think, could have to go. So it would be, Asgard and Smith in the middle. And I guess you'd then expect Hughes to sort of step in there as well. So I don't know whether we might just keep with the formula that seems to have been working the last couple of games. Albeit, I doubt we'll play just one centre-back in this match against Stevenage. Yeah, it's going to be a tight game again. I've not got the weather forecast yet. Maybe Michael Fish can tell us that there won't be a hurricane. So on the basis of that, I'm going to go 1-0 Wigan Athletic.
We'll see how close those predictions are on Sunday when we're back to discuss all the reaction to the Stevenage game. Until Sunday, it's up the ticks and come on.
Up the ticks, come on.